Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live worship services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at goochlanechurch.com, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
I have an app on my cell phone that keeps me connected to Channel 13 News in Houston. And it'll send me alerts anytime there's a breaking news story. But I must say that I've come to cringe when I get those reports because it's always bad news. Every time it's some shooting somewhere in the city or some fatal accident on one of the Houston freeways. Aren't you glad we can come together and talk about the good news tonight? It's our haven from our world. All that will still be there when we get finished tonight. But for this hour, we can just focus on the good news. The good news that Jesus saves. The good news that Jesus is on His throne. The good news of the place God's prepared where we can escape the things of the world for all eternity. And so I'm glad of your interest tonight in the good news of the gospel. I want us to begin tonight in the gospel of Luke. I hope you have a Bible tonight or can follow along with one. We're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, starting at verse 12. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 12. And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, the 12 apostles are listed four times in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. And there are always some subtle differences in the four lists. They don't follow the same order. I guess the gospel writers didn't know the song at that time, so they don't follow the song all in each case. But there are two things that are always the same in all four lists. Peter is always listed first. And in Matthew's account, it even says, the first, Simon, who is called Peter. And the second thing that is always the same is that Judas is listed last. And each time with a description of what he did, that he betrayed Jesus. Just as in Luke's list, Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And I guess in that sense, the children's song does follow the script. 12 apostles Judas made, Jesus was by him betrayed. Now I think that's lost a little of its luster on us. We've grown up learning the 12 apostles, and we've grown up knowing what Judas did, that he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But I want you to remember tonight what a shock that would have been to the New Testament reader. That the one who betrayed Jesus over to the religious leaders in Jerusalem was one of the 12, one of the hand-picked disciples among the throngs and throngs of disciples who were following Jesus. One of the 12 betrayed him. I think that's why it's listed that way over and over. Judas, the one who betrayed him. They couldn't believe that. And you might say, well, Jesus knew. It was predicted. Well, just because God knows something is going to happen, does that mean He forces us outside of our own free will? That we have no choice? That's why I think Luke uses that word that he does. Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Doesn't that imply that when he was brought on board, he was not a traitor? That when Jesus was picking the 12, he wasn't looking at this multitude and saying, okay, I need four fishermen. I'll get Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I need a tax collector. I'll get Matthew over there. I need a zealot. I'll pick Simon. Now, a traitor. Let's see. I need a traitor. I need a good traitor who will really betray me at the end. You remember when Jesus told the 12? Now, he had told them he would be betrayed. But at the Last Supper, he said, one of you will betray me. Do you remember what the disciples did? Oh, I bet it's Judas, isn't it? I've been suspicious of him from the start. No, they went around the table and said, is it I? Oh, please, Lord, tell me it's not me. And so I want to remind you tonight that if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. My mom was in the hospital, and she had a multitude of health problems, and so with that came a multitude of doctors. I mean, in one given day, the kidney team would come in, and then the pain management team would come in, and then the lymphedema team would come in. But if ever any team wanted to make any change, whether it be in her medication or treatment or schedule some kind of procedure, there was one doctor that had to sign off on it. And who do you think that was? The cardiologist, the heart doctor. Watch over your heart with all diligence, Solomon said, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. For from it flow the issues, the springs, the source of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence. If we're going to put first things first, we have to recognize the importance of the heart. Because if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. First of all, it can happen to someone who is a follower of Jesus, a disciple, somebody who left everything and became and attached themselves to Jesus. One of the things that makes Judas unique among the 12 is that he was likely the only one from Judea. The rest were Galileans. And perhaps Judas gave up the most to follow Jesus because of the influence that he would have lost among the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And so, like the other 11, he made the same commitment. He too was given power and authority. Look ahead to Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Luke 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Now, does anybody have a version of the Bible that puts in parentheses, except for Judas? No, he preached just like they all did. And he at one time was fighting against the kingdom of Satan and casting out demons. He traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was all in. But he became a traitor. Just like when Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." That was going to be a process. And Judas didn't watch over his heart. He was a follower. Peter would later say in Acts 1 and verse 17, he was counted among us, speaking of his fellow apostles. Folks, just because we are involved in the Lord's work is no guarantee of spiritual life and health. How many times have you had a conversation and learned about someone who has left the Lord and either had this thought or these words even leave your lips? "I just can't believe it. I never would have thought they would do something like that." We've all been there before. And that was Judas. He had all the appearances that he was faithful. Remember, the 12 trusted him with the money box. He was the treasurer of the apostles. I mean, they sure weren't going to trust Matthew the tax collector with it, but they gave it to Judas. That's how much they trusted him. But he became a traitor. It can happen to those who are plugged in, who are serving and attentive to their brethren, who are leading and serving in the public assembly, who are our spiritual heroes. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Because if it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. It can happen, secondly, to someone who is surrounded by good influences. You know, sometimes we explain away behavior because we think, well, you ought to see the home they grew up in. I mean, they didn't have a chance. Neither one of their parents were good influences. You ought to see the city they were raised in. I mean, it was just like Jesus called the synagogue of Satan there. There was all this evil influence around them. You ought to see the school that they went to. Well, Judas had the best of the best. He got to hear with his own ears the Sermon on the Mount. He got to see Jesus walk on water. He was in that boat. He got to carry one of the 12 baskets of leftovers after Jesus fed the 5,000 men with five loaves and two fishes. He was there. I mean, he had the seat we all envy. My daughter was little. We would always read a story from Mrs. Lee's Bible story. Y'all remember those old books? She would take the accounts of Scripture and put it into words that little kids could appreciate. So we were reading. She had a book called The Miracles of Jesus, and I was reading one of those to Morgan. And it was when Jesus raised the son of the widow of Nain. Remember, they were carrying the body out of the city for burial, and Jesus walked up to the dead body, and in Mrs. Lee's account, he said to him, "I say to you, get up." Morgan's eyes got as big as saucers, and she said, "Let's see if he gets up." Don't you know the disciples, like little children, were reacting that way? We can't believe it. You ought to see what Jesus did today. Judas was there. And he became a traitor. You know, we have a saying, never meet your heroes. You ever heard that? You have some singer or athlete, some politician, and by the chance of life, you get the opportunity to see them outside of the spotlight. And what usually happens in situations like that, we're disappointed because they just shrug us off. They don't have time for us. Judas saw Jesus in front of great crowds. He saw him in private conversations. He saw him one-on-one, and Jesus was always the same. He never changed. He was always gentle and humble. He was always pure. He was always perfect. And Judas had a front row seat. But he didn't guard his heart. And he became a traitor. Sometimes young people grow up and leave home. And then they leave the Lord. And that leaves parents and preachers and elders thinking, what'd we do wrong? What should I have said? What should I not have said? I just want to remind you tonight that this was a man who grew up, who was involved in the perfect of circumstances. And he still chose, by his free will, to betray Jesus. Watch over your heart. You can't watch over someone else's heart. You can't do it for someone else. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Because if it happened to Judas, it can happen to us. It can happen, number three, when you don't keep watch. Watching over your heart is not a one-time action, but it's something you must keep doing. So now let's go to Luke chapter 22, Luke's Gospel chapter 22. And start reading here at verse 1. Luke 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. And he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him apart from the multitude. Now, they had been after Jesus for a while, but because of Jesus' popularity among the crowd, they couldn't just take him in the city while he was teaching, or it would cause an uproar. His disciples would not stand for that. And so they needed an opportunity to betray him apart from the multitude in some kind of private setting. And who would know best as to where Jesus would be at a certain time but one of the 12? And so they backed him in a corner, didn't they? And they said, "You're going to give him over to us or we're going to hurt your family. You betray Jesus to us or we're going to ruin you." No, it was Judas who started it. "What will you give me to betray him into your hands?" John gives us a clue in John 12 that not only was Judas in charge of the money, but he used to pilfer. That's why he was so upset about the precious ointment that was broken and poured over Jesus' head. He was thinking about how much money they could have sold that for and put it in the treasury, and he could get his hands on it. And so already his heart is being tempted by the devil. And because he did not keep watch over his heart. Did you see what happened? Instead of God dwelling there, the devil entered. And for 30 pieces of silver, in the law of Moses, the price you would pay if your ox gored somebody's slave, 30 pieces of silver, he became a traitor. He didn't keep watch. And you say, "Well, how cheap a price is that to give up Jesus?" Is it any cheaper than when we give up Jesus for a night of drinking? When we give up Jesus for pornography? When we give up Jesus for gossip? When we give up Jesus for pride? Watch over your heart. When Jesus went to Gethsemane with the 11, that was what he kept telling them when he would go off to pray. Remember, he did that 3 times, and then he told Peter and James and John, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." He'd go off and pray, come back, they'd be asleep. Watch and pray. He would go and pray, come back, they'd be asleep. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And Jesus would go pray, and they would go to sleep. So guess what happened when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus? He was ready. They were not. Peter pulled out the sword. I got to defend the Son of God. He had not been watching and praying. How did Judas become a traitor? He did not keep watch over his heart. One night after services at Southside, two little boys came up to me and they said, "Mr. Bubba, we want to see the baptistry." And the baptistry at Southside, you have to go around the back and then go up this stairwell, and then it kind of levels out onto a platform, and then the stairs go down into the water. And so I took the boys up the stairs and got to the platform where there was a drain in the center. And I said, "Okay, you can't go past the drain. Where do you think their feet immediately went to?" Right on the drain. Down the stairs, somebody called to me, so I turned around. When I came back to where the boys were, one of them was holding the other, and they were dangling out over the water trying to touch it. Because they tried to get too close. Isn't that what we do? We think, "I'm strong enough. I can handle this. I won't give in." And we don't keep watch. And what happened to Judas happens to us. Number four, it can happen when we give up on the grace of God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, there is an interesting word that is used after Judas betrays Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You talk about the height of hypocrisy, betraying the Son of God with a kiss. But when Matthew records the trial of Jesus in Matthew 27 in verse 1. "Now when morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against him to put him to death, and they bound him and led him away and delivered him up to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to that yourself.' And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself." What does it mean when it said when Judas saw that he had been condemned? Why was that the point at which Judas felt remorse and tried so desperately to undo the deal he had made when he saw that Jesus had been condemned? Well, I can think of three possibilities. Scriptures don't say for sure. But it could be that Judas, who had seen Jesus on other occasions escape from his enemies. I mean, they were trying to throw him off the cliff in Nazareth, remember? And Jesus just kind of disappeared through the crowd. Perhaps Judas thought, "I'll betray him, get the money, and then Jesus will do his vanishing act again and go free." It could be that Judas, more than anybody, knew that Jesus was innocent, He even said, I've betrayed innocent blood. So perhaps he thought, I'll betray him, get the money, and then he'll be tried and found innocent. And they'll let him go free. Or it could be that he thought, as Jesus' own disciples did, that he had come to set up an earthly kingdom, and that somehow forcing the hand of Jesus among these Roman and Jewish enemies would trigger the coming of the kingdom, and it would be established on the throne. But now he sees they're going to put Jesus to death, and I'm the one who betrayed him. Whatever the case, he tried to return the money. And they said, a deal's a deal. And Judas went away and hanged himself. How different than his fellow apostle Peter, who had failed Jesus that same night by three times denying him. But look at the last verse of chapter 26 when Peter came to deal with his sin. He went out and wept bitterly. Judas went out and hanged himself. You ever wondered how differently the book of Acts would be written if Judas had just waited 3 days? Just 3 days. And this Jesus, who's been raised to life, can resurrect me. He can give me life. He can purpose me for service, just like he did Peter. Tend my lambs, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. And Jesus could do that. But Judas gave up on the grace of God. Our brother is going to lead us in who will follow Jesus. And there is a verse in that song that is not in most of the songbooks. But I think of Judas when I sing that verse. Listen to it. Who will follow Jesus when the tempter charms? Fleeing then for safety to the Savior's arms. Trusting in His mercy, trusting in His power, seeking fresh renewals of His grace each hour. Part of following Jesus understands that there will be times we will fail Him. We will disappoint Him. But that's when we must go away, weep bitterly, and return to Him. YouTube is full of videos of epic failure. Well, there have been times when we have epically failed God. Does that mean He's finished with us? He has no use for us? It can happen when you give up on the grace of God. And you may say, well, you don't know what I've done. And you're right. But He does. And He wants to resurrect you. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues, the springs, the source of life. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to us. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. See, the Jews gave up Jesus for envy. Judas gave up Jesus for money. Peter gave up Jesus for fear. But God gave Jesus for salvation. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who will follow Jesus? It's an act of the will. You're going to have to decide. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways? Putting first things first. Who will follow Jesus to glory, to the place He's prepared at the feet of His Father's throne? He's calling for you. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You burdened by your sin? Then come and give it over to Jesus. Repent and confess your faith and be baptized. You need the prayers of your fellow disciples to encourage you and pray with you, pray for you? Then this invitation is for you. And you can let us know right now. Just come up to the front while we stand up and sing.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at goochlanechurch.com to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is goochlanechurch.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.